Hare Krishna. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today's speaker is His Grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji. Prabhuji will speak on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse number 142 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. And now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Ina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sakana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanathaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Shakhan Vitam Chahe Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for introducing, and thank you all devotees for joining in and giving this fallen soul an opportunity to speak about and purify myself. Because by speaking, I feel more purified. I really don't know how much others are benefited, but by speaking about Krishna, the speaker and listener, both are benefited equally. And I would say I am more benefited. So in the Madhya Leela, it is the interpretations of the Atmarama verse, 64 interpretations. Vidhi dharma chari bhaje krishna racharana nishiddha papachare tara kabu nahe mana. Although the pure devotee does not follow all regulative principles of varnashrama, he worships the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, he naturally has no tendency to commit sin. The Varnashrama institution is planned in such a way that one will not commit sinful activities. Material existence continues due to sinful activity. When one acts sinfully in this life, he gets a suitable body for next life. When one again acts sinfully, he takes on another material body. In this way, one is continuously under the influence of material nature. So the living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with the material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Due to our association with the modes of material nature, we get different types of bodies, good and bad. One cannot be liberated from cycle of birth and death, known as transmigration of the soul, unless one is completely freed from all sinful activities. The best process, therefore, is to take to Krishna consciousness. One cannot take to Krishna consciousness without being freed from all sinful activities. Naturally, one who is very serious about Krishna consciousness is freed from all sinful activities. Now, consequently, a devotee is never inclined to commit sins. If one is pressured by the law or obligations to give up sinful activity, one cannot do so. However, if one takes to Krishna consciousness, he can very easily give up all sinful activity. This is confirmed herein. So, 2 days ago I was in Charlotte and I was trying to present the Srimad Bhagavatam, and gradually as I was doing this and I was trying to put together an article on how sinful tendencies attack us. For example, you can see in the beginning in Krishna consciousness, all of us come together then we can see even in Krishna consciousness we fight, we could fight, there could be groups and devotees can split up in groups. Then this devotee might not like that devotee. And then some devotees cannot put up with some devotee. Then some devotees cannot put up with some particular Guru Maharaj devotee. So I was trying to analyze, understand, study all these different kinds of differences. What is happening there? So basically what happens is, although we come to Krishna consciousness, Radhanath Maharaj told in a very beautiful lecture that we are Kali Yuga body, Kali Yuga mind. Means we are born here now in this Kali Yuga because we are so degraded right now. Not bad, but not absolutely bad, because we are at the beginning of Kali Yuga. Imagine if we were born at the end of Kali Yuga, that means we are the absolute worst. But okay, so we have some hope. So we are born in the beginning of this Kali Yuga. So we have a couple of tendencies. So first tendency is basically, when we take initiation, when we take Krishna consciousness, yes, our future birth, future tendencies goes away. Future births are eliminated, future sinful reactions are gone away. But then you are left with your prarabdha karma. That is what happens. For example, once you become Krishna conscious, just like the Nalakuvar and Manigriva, the interesting thing that you see is that they get liberated from the tree body, but they again take their body as demigod and they have to go back and finish their body as the demigod and then go back to Godhead. And in meanwhile, in between, they have to keep doing bhakti. They have to keep maintaining their bhakti. But they say, our intelligence is awakened now, Krishna. We have suffered enough. And you have freed us from this tree body. So, they say our intelligence is awakened now. That's what they say. So you can see that if karma becomes zero, then our body will fall off. So what happens is, when you, in the Yoga Sutras, is where I found a very interesting point. It says that when one begins the practice of yoga, so here yoga just doesn't mean some asana practice. Yoga means to purify the mind of all samskaras. So what happens is, like many birds, we take lot of habits from previous life, tendencies. And we can see in this life, something happens, that tendency remains very prominent. We get addicted to something. So all these habits, they will not die with the death of the body. They will carry on to the next life. That is why immediately some tendency, we see somebody has already got some tendency, somebody has already got some habit. It's already there. It's just carrying on from previous life. You might forget the object, but the tendency will be there. And what happens in this life is that we have all these sinful tendencies. So basically what happens is that all these previous habits from previous life carry on. Now, the process of bhakti, in this what happens, in yoga, what happens is one stops gross sinful activity for a start. So we give up meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. But what about the subtle tendencies? They will always remain. Like it says in the scripture, that even one might take the ashram of sannyas, but there is always desire for puja, labha, pratishta. So grossly you give up something, but the subtle tendencies are there. Like there was one Maharaj in ISKCON, very nice devotee. But he was sitting in BBT. And everybody had to go to get books from him only. There was no other option. You had to go to the BBT office with him. And he was known for whenever you go to him, not that he is a bad man, but whenever you go, he will sit with you at least 1.5 hours and give you a lecture before he will give you your books. So you had to go through that. And that is mostly how sinful things are, difficult. So that is one's nature, one's tendency. So we want to overcome our nature. So we give up gross tendencies, but the subtle tendencies are there. And because of this subtle tendency, so let's take the example of Maharaj Parikshit. Now it is said that Maharaj Parikshit, at that time, because he was wearing a golden helmet, he was attacked by Kali for some time. And some say it was the helmet of Duryodhana, or, you know, he had so many helmets of his Purvajas. And some say it was Duryodhana's helmet, some say it was just a gold helmet. So for a few moments, Kali attacked him. And when, so what is the result of that? So that clearly explains very beautifully there that Kali attacked his mind. And then when he saw the snake next to, he entered the ashram of this rishi. And when he did not respect him, immediately his ego got affected. And similarly, what happens with all of us, this temple, okay, they did not give me this, you know, just like my grandmom says, whenever she would call me for breakfast and I won't go, she would tell in Konkan, I mean, she used to say, what, then you should bring a whole music band to wake you up and bring you here, you know. So his ego got affected. She wanted to somebody to respect him. So this is Kali Yuga. So Kali attacked him at that moment. So he was behaving perfectly like a Kali Yuga frustrated, hypocritic person. Although he was a king, he was a Kshatriya, he is meant to protect his citizens even in their worst difficulty. Immediately he became attacked by Kali. He became Shudra. Thought process. And then what that thought process did, okay, let us try to insult him somehow. And immediately he picked up that snake and he put it on his neck. And then he put it on his neck and he felt very proud about it. I did it. Okay, I did it. And then he left from there, thinking, yes, I have given him an equal insult. I have given him an insult that he deserves. So usually this is what happens to us. This is the Kali Yuga thought process. This is the Kali Yuga tendency. Where these Rakshasi tendencies, they enter your mind. So we can see, similarly, in the case of Nala Damayanti. And in Nala Damayanti case, Nala did not wash his feet one time. I won't explain the whole story, but this particular incident, it was said he forgot to wash his feet and Kali entered through his feet. Kali entered through his feet and immediately he sat in his mind, he sat in his body, ready to attack. So, in Parikshit's case, Parikshit left. And then the rishi's son, Srangi, he saw that his father had been garlanded with a snake. And then he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. Now Maharaj Parikshit realized, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? What happened? Just like what happens to us when we become angry. When we become angry, we just lose it. We just throw everything at them. And then it doesn't end. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. It doesn't end. And after some time, then... And then, after going on and on, after we rant, after we have finished, then we realize what is the damage we have done. What is that we have lost? And we think, oh my God, If I could control for a few minutes at that time. I used to go to this prison preaching and I saw, and there was this one prisoner who used to come regularly, just 40, 35, 40 year old. And he was already 10 years in prison because he and his brother were best of friends. Just one argument, some little argument over who will change the tire of a bike. And he, 26 times he stabbed him with a screwdriver. And then he said, I cannot forget that moment. Somehow, I don't know what overcame me. So what happens is, so basically because Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is explaining about one who is sinful. Yesterday I was reading that Prabhupada says, one who is sinful, he cannot be Krishna. And today's verse is very interesting because Prabhupada says one has to become sinless. Again, the same point. This moment a sin or a tendency to sin is there, Kali attacks. Kali attacks. And that is why one of the things that the sages glorify Suta Goswami before he speaks Bhagavatam is Anagha. They glorify him. They say, you are peaceful, you are sinless. So there are two things, sin and sinful tendency. So Prabhupada says intelligence should always be fresh. Means what happens is, we should be chanting 24 hours. But because we are struggling to chant even 2 hours, that too with great difficulty we chant. Moment you give it up, moment your mind you expose again to Kali Yuga, all our previous tendencies, they tend to form back very strong. Prarabdha. And moment you become like that, although grossly you don't take bath, you don't, everything is dirty anyway because cows are being killed in such large numbers. So Kali attack is very strong. He attacks our very heart. That is why devotees, even though there is a little bit of politics, we take great interest, we take this, we don't discuss in detail, or we don't have the strength to change the world's momentum because right now, the intelligence that we have is Prabhupada could shake the world because completely purified, completely pure devotional intelligence. Now that is something very, very rare to have. So in Kali Yuga, because of either we are sinful, either because of, just like Nala, he did not wash his feet once. Imagine we are. And previously, houses used to be cleaned by cow dung and this and that. And everything used to be so clean. So that is why there is mention of Varnashrama Dharma in this verse. Because Varnashrama Dharma means you live according to the laws. You don't commit sin or you don't allow. If you see, in morning Sandhya Vandanam, before you chant Gayatri, you throw away Papa Purusham before you chant Gayatri. So you do Anganyasa, Karanyasa, you do all purification. And then you take a little bit of water in your hand and invite Papa Purusha into that. The tendency to commit sin comes from Papa Purusha. So you purify yourself completely. So there is a lot of contamination and then you just throw the water behind your neck after purifying. And then when the tendency to commit sin, Papa Purusha, you have thrown away and you are completely purified, then you chant Gayatri. So, because as long as we have the tendency to sin, so then what happens is, as long as we have this tendency to sin, because we are already, we may call, we are initiated. But after initiation also, some people can get better, some people can get worse also. Because if one commits 10 offenses, if one does not overcome his sinful tendency, then what happens? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he could be more fallen. he could become more fallen. The danger about when a devotee commits sinful reactions, offenses, is that he could be even worse than what he was, or even worse than a karmi. Sometimes we find that when devotees make mistakes, or devotees, they appear worse than karmis. You know, sometimes we feel, this person is better, at least he is not behaving like this. Mandir ke andar hai ke aisa kya kar raha hai, aisa kyun behave kar raha hai. So there is a danger. So that is why it is said spiritual life means walking on the edge of a knife. It's a double-edged sword. It's walking on the tip of a knife. If you do not balance properly, it will cut you. So we may think we are progressing. No, progressing means every time you chant. That is why I think I spoke here also that the two activities that keep us sin-free, of course, eating prasadam, but offenseless chanting, because that changes your prarabdha to a great degree. Offenseless chanting, it takes you to the transcendental platform. And systematic study of Bhagavatam, because gradually the six enemies of the mind, which make us commit sin, they are subtly very strong. You see your heart engripped by this. Can I see Radha Krishna Lila? Do tears come from my eyes when I chant? What stage I am in? And we have to... I was listening to Gaur Krishna Maharaj, whose Bhagavatam I'm trying to listen and trying to follow. Those 48 lectures, Sampurna Bhagavatam. I was surprised to hear, not surprised, but I was amazed to hear that before he spoke this Sampurna Bhagavatam and Sampurna Chaitanya Charitamrita, and look at the irony, this great devotee, he spoke Sampurna Bhagavatam, Sampurna Chaitanya Charitamrita, and after that he left his body. And many devotees said he came for this special purpose. He lived in Braj for 7 years. Of course, he was very austere since his childhood. And he lived on Madhukari. Means once a day you go on begging. So whatever roti, whatever you get by begging, that's it. And he read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam 57 times. That is only Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. Then he read all Acharya's commentaries in 7 years. That's why when he speaks Bhagavatam, it hits your heart. So there is layers and layers and layers of sinful reactions and sinful tendencies. The mind is very, very strong. But Prabhupada was, because he was, Prabhupada used to said, somebody said that previous life he was a doctor and he was completely free from sin. It's very difficult to, even sometimes in temples it happens, there is a lot of debate. I don't want to bring in more details, but just in temples, we do this Janmashtami, Kalash Abhishek to raise funds, and there is a big fight. How can you do Abhishek and this and that? Just we have to raise funds and this and that. So some one group is, one devotee is saying, no, don't do it. One group of devotees is saying, how can you show deities and make money, you know, just to do. So that tendency, you know, but I was very inspired by Amarendra Prabhu, and I said, Prabhu, I just want to preach, and whatever Dakshina comes, book sales, astrology, whatever I do, I want to make a living. And Amarendra Prabhu was the first to encourage me. He said, Prabhu, Radha Govind Maharaj said, if by completely surrendering to Bhagavatam one lives a sin-free, pure life, then Krishna is forced to protect such a devotee, then he has to make a hole on your roof and bring food for you if one is pure, completely pure. It's very inspiring, because a grahastha means, in general, if you see Prabhupada's grahastha life, he was doing everything, but at the same time he used to spend enough time translating Bhagavatam. And always, just like Prabhupada said, one should keep in contact with purity. So Varnashrama was all about living with purity, acknowledging the presence, acknowledging the authority of the Supreme Lord, the purity of the Supreme, by acknowledging that, in Varnashrama system, one sticks to his Varna and then one offers everything to the Supreme. At the same time, he is working in conjunction as per his Dharma. So for him, there is a set of duties that are laid out and he is completely focused. And he completely uses his tendencies in serving the society, of course, with Hari Toshanam and pleasing Vishnu. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is meant to similarly discipline us, purify our sinful tendencies. Now, this is something which is very, very difficult because when you get initiated, that is the process. So, Guru takes away your sin from all future births, but then the prarabdha is still there. And if we do not take the Krishna consciousness movement very carefully, so then there is offenses. Offenses is papa is, it is said, it is like, you know, you sprinkle dirt on a road, you can just clean it. But on the same road, if it's a road made up of stone, or like, you know, it's like, offenses means like vajra lepa. The reason we are here in this material world is because of offenses to Krishna, to devotees. That is all because of sinful tendencies. Offenses come because of sinful tendencies. Because somewhere or the other, we wanted to be the controller, we wanted to be the enjoyer. These two tendencies that are there, very sinful. And they are exhibited in many different ways. The absolute tolerance of another devotee. The absolute tolerance. So that's why Prabhupada was able to attract the hippies, because they were so sinful, so abusive, but yet at the same time, Prabhupada was so tolerant, and offenseless. So devotees means to, and we cannot curb our tendency. Although we see all these qualities, we become amazed. And we see that very difficult to imbibe those qualities within us. So devotee means he overcomes these sinful tendencies. So how deep our sadhana is, then ultimately everybody is doing, but to what depth they are doing, that is what defines how free from our sinful tendencies we are. So there are two things. Sinful reactions, yes, there will be no sinful reactions. But at the same time, so just like we see the Ajamila, in the story of Ajamila, because he chanted offenselessly, he was free from sinful reactions. And when he saw, so that is why he saw the conversation of Bhagavatam, right? He saw the Bhagavatam class between, he chanted offenselessly, let us say he did both the things. He chanted offenselessly and he heard the Bhagavatam class between Vishnudutas and Yamadutas. And when he heard the Bhagavatam class between Vishnudutas and Yamadutas, his knowledge awakened because he was free from sinful reactions and sinful tendencies. Moment you chant offenselessly, to the degree you chant offenselessly, to the extent you chant offenselessly. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say that until and unless one chants 64 rounds offenselessly, one is fallen, because the prarabdha is so strong. It is so strong. It's very difficult to overcome. And then Ajamila, they said, okay, you are free from sinful reactions. And because you heard about the names of Lord Vishnu and the glories of Lord Vishnu and the discussion of Lord Vishnu, now you have an opportunity to build your bhakti on this. So when he became free from sinful reaction, when he became free from all sinful tendency, because that is why the Bhagavatam is so important. So either you hear from a Bhagavat, so you can see also in Narada, he got the prasadam from Bhagavat, and just by the prasadam from the Bhagavat, his heart transformed. So there should be the transformation in the heart, and that is tested. That is tested by our attraction, by our material attraction. To what we are attracted. Some devotee comes to you and he wants to do some seva, then we have our tendency, or we have to think so many things, how to keep that devotee in the long run inspired, interested, happy, focused. So everybody, we have a responsibility for ourselves and at the same time for others. But to do that duty properly, one should be completely free from sinful reactions. One should be properly situated in Varnashrama. Unfortunately, in most cases, we find that when leaders are themselves not situated properly, when they advise others, it doesn't work. Nobody takes it seriously. And even when they advise others, there is no potency. So, I've realized that that's why there is always check and balance. There is always check and balance, because everyone has a, until and unless we are in prema bhakti, we all have one way or the other. We can see even Jada Bharat. He did everything right, finally got attracted to a deer, some kind of material compassion. And as a result of that, he took a birth. Now, can you imagine that he did one mistake? And it's not that because we are in Krishna conscious movement, anything we do is okay. No. We have to be very strict. We have to follow the process very, very properly. So what is the difference between today, we see some devotees are on the world stage. They are giving big lectures. They are transforming the hearts of hundreds of people because they worked very hard. And in this Kali Yuga, these Rakshasas, these subtle energies, they are using, these Rakshasi tendencies are using media to propagate and give you ideas. They are entering the hearts once and making people think sinfully. So Kali Yuga is attacking. Kali is attacking. So when a devotee becomes a little bit careless, immediately Kali attacks. That's when we see devotees fighting. Because the moment you become little guard down, Kali is waiting. One devotee from Philadelphia, he invited me to have a discussion with a church pastor. And we discussed all night, 6 hours we discussed. And for every point that he said, I quoted Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, he was completely finished. And then we were ending. And he said, I accept everything you say. Just like Arjuna, he said everything first sentence. But then second sentence he said, I accept whatever you say is right. But then second line he said, but I am brought up since childhood to say and believe that only this book is right. Everything else is okay. We are okay. But only this is what I should follow and believe. Then I said, what more can I? When you have already decided that you will, although you may know these things, you won't follow, then probably like Gajendra next life, you have to wait. Okay, fine, you know, we ended the conversation. But then we were just saying, so, and then we started talking about institutional abuse. And then he said, then he started himself, started talking about how in Vatican Church and different churches, there is so much abuse going on, abuse of power, and then there is the abuse of children or people, you know, all these things he was speaking about, which is now making headlines, and people are suing churches, so many things happen. So as he was speaking about that, he said, Jesus said that if you are not careful, when you are not careful in your practice, then the Satan, the devil, enters you. And he makes you commit sinful reactions. Because you see, even normal man won't do such things, you know. And to be in a church and somebody who is a responsible father, mother, you know, somebody who is responsible to society, we find many people who are karmis, but they are socially, they are very giving and, you know, they are wanting to do something. How can somebody be in a church? He knows everything and he does. Then he suddenly struck back and he was saying at the same time, he said, not only our institution, I can see, although I may not, I am forced not to agree with you, but I agree your spiritual practice is very strong. But he said, when you guys lower your guard, I can see you have fights and abuses even in your own institution. And how can that be possible if the devil was not attacking even you? So one who is going on the spiritual path, this he attacks them even more, this Kali. And what he does, he enters your heart, blows up your desires that is already there, and then gives you sinful thoughts, and you think it is okay. So the point is that ultimately, we are in Kali Yuga. And grossly or subtly, this energy of Kali, these subtle Rakshasas, they are always there. They are attacking. And especially subtly, they are trying. And until and unless we purify our heart. So a devotee means now we should be extra careful. We have a big responsibility. We cannot lower our guard. We have to be completely maintaining, of course, moment you start chant, moment you are initiated, you become sinless, but then the sinful tendency is still there. And as long as the sinful tendency is there, we will commit sin, one way or the other. And that is why in Kali Yuga, not everything you do is perfect. There is there is every tendency, and we can see that in the result. Devotees cannot get along, they fight with each other, or different things we can see in different places, different temples. So what is this? So this is hardening of the sinful tendency. If we cannot humble, get together and create an example for the world, and that is why Krishna Smaran Prabhu used to say, why is Krishna not giving the devotees to rule? And he said, this is because we are not ready. We have not purified our heart enough. We have not digested the Bhagavatam and taken ourselves to a level of pure intelligence. So devotee means he acts on purely intelligence platform, not the mind, not the ego. We are practically acting on the mental platform today, basically. Grahastha generally means, yes, we have to take care of family, so there's so many things, mind, then there is ego. And these are all subtly interfering with our thought process. And as long as this is there, These tendencies are there, Kali is strongly there. But then when one comes to the level of pure intelligence, pure Bhagavatam, that is when one has completely freed from all material tendencies. Now, that is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, even in grahastha life, if one takes up the activities of Krishna consciousness properly, with the proper devotees, you know, there was a big debate going on whether devotees should be paid in the temple or not. I was seeing some very nice exchanges. Some are not nice, but there were some things being said. But one devotee showed letters of Prabhupada where Prabhupada was saying that grahasthas should work outside, make their money, but at the same time, when they are living in the temple, the focus should be how better they can cooperatively bring together. Because Prabhupada emphasizes that in Kali Yuga, this is what Kali does. He creates an aversion between people. known between husband and wife. That is why divorce, which is unknown in any religion, is a common thing today. Although people marry in the name of religion, where in the world did divorce come about? So this is something, an invention of Kali. And as it goes on, and it's not that we, because we are devotees, we are free from it. I'm doing astrology and I get so many horoscopes with the devotees wanting to divorce. Just married, this and that. And I was like totally shocked about how, actually these are devotees. They are chanting. But what's gone wrong? How can you not change your karma? How can you not overcome? So that is why I ask every devotee who comes, you know, in this context, it's even more important, because purifying ourselves from sinful reaction and purifying ourselves from tendency to sin means changing our personality, changing our character. And it is not that any kind of seva we do, anything we do, that is everything is transcendental. No, the 99% of progress, every other seva you do is fine. But 99% of the progress is offenseless, attentive chanting. And then studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, very seriously. And and being situated in proper Varnashrama Dharma until and unless we are completely freed. And this should be primary goal. And however, because of our body and mind, like Radhanath Maharaj said, we are Kali Yuga body. We have a very dangerous tendency. It's like you see, any kind of rumor about anything, you know, anything wrong spreads very fast, you know, because our tendency is there. We are not thinking, oh, it went wrong for the devotee, how do we protect him? But any kind of good things also progress, but we have tendency for both, you know, that is Kali Yuga, that is Kali Yuga body. We have both Daivi and Asuri tendency. So one who rises rapidly is one who understands these signs. So this is a science. In the science, what will help this science, you know, what will make this, how this science can go wrong, one should know. Just like a launch of a rocket, little bit here and there and the rocket will not launch, you know. So it's a science. So one has to understand that Varnashrama is a beautiful science. Sometimes what happens is mostly we become at one little emotional. Although bhakti there is emotion, but just emotion is not bhakti. So we have to be bhakti and intellectual at the same time. That's why we are called Rupanugas. Means we should relish bhakti. But doing kirtan all the time, yes, kirtan, Hari Kirtana just doesn't mean doing some nice sweet kirtan all the time. But it is also chanting, reading scriptures, preaching, you know, doing, well, there are many, many beautiful activities, you know, doing it under proper guideline. And Harikatha, you know, you can see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was not a big kirtanier. And yet he was so powerful and effective in his preaching because of the purity. So that is what should be. So when we become freed from sinful reactions and tendency to commit sin, but if we have not captured, if we have not overcome both by tapasya, by offenseless chanting, by our clear understanding of the scripture and fear the attack of Kali and keep ourselves very protected, very focused all the time, alert all the time, walking on the sword, the edge of a sword, am I committing offense, I'm focused, I'm chanting, you know, really, really focused, and make a plan to gradually improve our level of chanting, improve our level of physical and mental health, and keep ourselves steadily progressing until we make a plan and really push for progress and lay out a plan. So there is chanting, there is Bhagavatam, there is Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are, even if we do not or cannot, we are not avid readers, we cannot hear scriptures, then we associate with some devotee who can really show the way that after this, our progress should be at this level of this level. And the devotee is constantly and consistently, he's really focusing. And all that boils down to is that we have these sinful tendencies, and you make it a point. I write it down. So this is what tendencies I feel. How do I overcome this? how do I overcome this? I feel this feeling not only with this devotee, I had in the past with this. So you see a trend. Okay, this is how I am and how I want to be. So what changes we are making to our lifestyle. So a devotee is very meticulous and he really works. So that is why at some point, that's why you surrender. Like after some time, you surrender. You simply act under the guidance of higher intelligence. So that is why full-time devotee means he's always focused on Guru's instructions. He's always focused to chant, read and serve completely to satisfy Guru and then take the mood of the Guru. So we see that by keeping like that, when Krishna is pleased, ultimately we have to make all our plans. We have to try our best. But ultimately, like in Ajamila's case, ultimately the Lord decided to help him, intervene in his case. So we have to, like Srila Prabhupada said, that do not try to see God, but act in such a way that God sees you. So with humility, to understanding that we have this great sinful tendency, which is very strong, and at any moment this Kali can attack us, if we are not strong in our practice. So devotee feels always helpless that, and Prabhupada, somebody asked Prabhupada, what are you praying? You are a pure devotee, but why are you praying? What are you praying? Prabhupada said, I am always praying to Krishna to protect me from this attack of Maya. To protect me, because Prabhupada is showing us the way about how any moment, these Rakshasi tendencies give us ideas, give us thoughts, and actually break up relationships, offend devotees, or make offenses to the holy name. So we have to be on our guard, keep ourselves always pure, because we say purity is the force. And in this way, we can progress very, very fast. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much. This was a very interesting class and thank you very much for covering this topic very nicely. Prabhu, I was a little lost. I just wanted some help to understand it better. So you were talking about, one thing you were saying is about getting rid of the sin, and the other one is getting rid of the tendency to commit sin. So when you were giving the example of Ajamil, you were saying, and then you also mentioned, when one does offenseless chanting and when one listens to Bhagavatam and absorbs in Bhagavatam very nicely, then the tendency to commit sin will go, right? Is that correct? Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, see, basically what happens is, just like you clean the house, but next day it is filled up, because it is the nature to get completely, the house gets dirty again. So even if by nature it gets dirty. So every day if we, and because of our previous, so that can be compared to the nature of the mind to go back to what it was. We have a previous nature before we become devotee. It is subtly existing there. And until and unless we do a strong push by chanting the holy names and studying Bhagavatam, a very strong, subtly that nature is, subtly it's existing, subtly it's there. It's not gone completely. So what happens is, when we commit offenses, the tendency increases. But when we chant offenselessly and keep on studying Bhagavatam, the light of the Bhagavatam actually reduces this tendency.
Right.
And the more we do, then it is said in the third canto of Bhagavatam, when one completely 100% surrenders, 100% he is completely doing only that activity, after some time, this mind, all these tendencies become burnt off. That is when the devotee is liberated. So that is liberation, when all these previous tendencies itself. So that is why I said Vaishnava means he who gives up even tendency to criticize
who gives up tendency for all these acts. Even the tendency is not there. Nothing affects him. Mm-hmm. Because this is completely burnt off, you know. So,
right.
So that is, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so my then the correct understanding, you know, what I should be understanding from this is that there are two things, as you already mentioned, the tendency to commit sin and also the sinful reaction. So first the sinful reaction is burnt out, then the tendency to commit sin is eventually burnt out based on the absorption.
Based on, yes, based on our practice.
Practice, yeah, on the, yeah, based on the offenseless practice. Yeah, okay, I get
it. The guru gives you adhikar by taking away sinful reactions.
Okay. Now,
the guru gives you adhikar because as long as we are sinful, we cannot practice bhakti. But by absorbing our sinful reaction, the guru gives you adhikar. Guru gives you the opportunity to actually tread on the path. And then it's up to you to make use of that opportunity and keep yourself completely sinless, you know, offenseless, sinless, and then, you know, to take it forward, so to speak.
Mm. So now, again, two questions, Prabhu. When in the beginning, you were also giving the example of Ajamil, right? So, during the time of when Ajamil was hearing the conversations, the Bhagavad Katha of the Yama, very nicely, as you said, the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas, at that time, what was removed for him? His past sins were removed or the tendency to commit the sin was removed?
No, no. So, what happened is because he chanted offenselessly,
okay,
all his sinful reactions were gone.
Ah.
Sinful reactions were gone. But he is not yet freed subtly from that tendency to commit sin yet because he has no spiritual knowledge. That spiritual knowledge came. So that is why chanting is followed by Bhagavat Katha. In the temple also, Prabhupada's program, first chanting and then Bhagavatam. Because what happens is, when we become free from, when the mind becomes completely purified by chanting, offenseless chanting, then he becomes ready to receive the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why even before you speak Bhagavatam, you do little kirtan, because kirtan purifies, you know, it gets ready. You give that sukriti, you know. And that intelligence can hear. Of course, Bhagavatam in itself is sufficient to purify, but yet the holy name is there, you know. The holy name should be there. And then, so similarly, when Ajamila, first he was, because he chanted offenselessly, he became freed from sinful reaction. But then when he heard the conversation, he realized the glories. So till then, he did not know the glories of the holy name. And because he did not know the glories of the holy name, and yet he was so sinful. That is why the Lord accepted, because offense means knowing the glories of the holy name to commit sin. He committed sin without knowing the glories of the holy name. So that's when we chanted the holy name, somehow or the other, he became glorious. But what that does is, it removes your sinful reaction, yet to go to Vaikuntha, one cannot be just sin free. One has to be a pure devotee.
Correct.
So the Vishnu Dutas, they say, now you are free from sinful reaction. And because you heard the conversation and stories of Lord Narayana, now your mind is purified.
Jai, huh?
Yet one has to practice bhakti, purify and practice and get trained and get rid of these tendencies completely. So we are giving 20 years. So they give him 20 years in Haridwar and a fresh body, and they say, we will drop you off there. Then you practice bhakti here, simply remembering the Lord, chanting, because your mind is now purified, you can easily take to these activities. You know, it won't block. Your previous tendencies won't block. So you keep on chanting, everything else will go, and in 20 years will come. And by that time, you are 100% pure, and we'll pick you up and go. And that's what they did. So 20 years he practiced Haridwar, and then he came. So that's our situation. So we somehow come, and we, by somehow or the other, you know, like one devotee said, Prabhupada, we have no qualification. Prabhupada said, yes, I made your qualification. You know? So that is our situation. So we have no qualification. We have no adhikar. But because we came to the movement, because we got initiated, now we have that opportunity. But
we should always remember, when we look at the history of our society and devotees, we should realize that the tendency is there.
Right.
So if we are not careful, grossly or subtly, so we may do even, that is why the story of Naraka, all these different things are there. So there is no other way except surrender to Krishna, no matter how much you try. And that is the biggest test. Devotee, how much he becomes. Bhagavatam means, that is why Bhagavatam is so important, because it is all about surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, to the degree, ye yatamam prapadyante. It's all about how much you learn to take shelter of the Lord. So even if it is said, after, even after you are completely trained here, nobody goes directly to Vaikuntha. You are taken to a planet. Shivaram Maharaj explained this very detailed. He said, you are taken to a planet where Krishna Lila is going on, because in Vrindavan, these demons come, this come, that come. You learn in every emergency situation also how to take shelter of Krishna. You know, you learn there is ambulance going all the time, right? So, you become even more surrendered, even more trained, and when that surrender is perfect, when the Lord considers you clear, then He takes you to Vaikuntha, you know, to Goloka. it's that one gives up one tendency, but then one has to cultivate the other tendency, you know. So that is why, just to add this point, just to conclude this, just something in my mind. One is sinful reaction going away, number one. Sinful reaction going away. Sinful tendency going away. That is anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti. Next is artha pravritti. Artha pravritti, cultivating activities for bhakti. You know, you become like, this is your character, this is your personality. You cultivate activities of bhakti and you progress. But then ultimately, to spontaneous activity. You know, so these are the stages. So once you become free from sinful tendency, then the spontaneity will only come when this sinful tendency is gone.
Right.
And then spontaneity will come, because you are anagha, you are pure. And then this leads to raga, you know, bhava, prema, you know, ruchi, raga. So anartha nivritti to artha pravritti. This is the stage where most of us are stuck for a long time.
Stuck, very, very stuck. That was very clear. Thank you. And the other question, this has been asked a couple of them in the past as well, but I don't have an answer, so I just thought if you can help. When we say that at the time of initiation, the guru takes away the sinful reaction, at least, you know, if not prarabdha completely, but the rest of Sanchita and others, is there any reference to, you know, kind of support the stand of what we always
I actually read it in Chaitanya Charitamrita somewhere, I don't know, maybe later on I can put this thing. Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also in this Samskara's book, when I was preparing to do initiation yagya, it is there. What is the initiation yagya? What is that Samskara? So when he gives you his beads, he accepts you as his disciple in the Panampara. So to make you eligible, to make you eligible, he has to take this sinful reaction.
Right. So is there any reference, like scriptural reference, that is quoted in that book, Prabhu?
There is, yeah. It is from CC only. I'll probably Google and send it to you. It is from CC only, that he starts a new life free from sin. It is said like that there.
Does it also say the guru actually absorbs the sin?
See, ultimately, it is said that guru, as to the degree, is connected to Krishna. So, Krishna doesn't want to make the guru suffer. Right? So, the thing is, the Krishna, it is said, Krishna takes, through the guru, Krishna takes. But then the thing is, some people are over merciful, they say. You know?
Okay.
So Krishna said, okay, do this much, you know. But they are very merciful, like Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, it is because you people are committing sinful activities. I know I am getting all these hallucinations. I am not getting sleep. So the thing is, yes, Krishna absorbs.
And that is why Rupa Goswami says sometimes it's better not to accept disciple. Mm. Sometimes it is better not to accept too many disciples.
Right.
Or better not to accept disciples. So the thing is, it is shared. So Guru and Krishna kind of share. It's not that Krishna wants the Guru to suffer. But then, when the Guru takes so much, so then Krishna also makes an example out of the Guru. You know, so although he suffers and everything, but then the disciples see, they change. So Krishna always uses or kind of is pure devotee. He ensures that he always remains an example.
Mm-hmm.
So although they can get by and Krishna can give them all comforts and every good thing, but yet Krishna, like Pandavas or Srila Prabhupada, all his devotees, he knows because they are fully surrendered, they will accept anything that Krishna throws at them.
Mm.
So that eventually they should not think of becoming devotee of Krishna, Krishna is very soft. No, Krishna, most dearest people, he puts them through even through more difficulties so that ultimately they remain an example for everybody else, you know. So, so it is basically shared, yes.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, so just in case you get the reference, please send it, Prabhu. We'd like to see it. Thank you. And thank you, Prabhu. The class was very, very, very nice. Thank you.
Sorry.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Can I, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in 18th chapter that just give up all the varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. And I was free from all the sinful reactions. So, would that be an answer? Could you explain, please?
See, the thing is, we should understand what surrender means there. So, if you see, Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So, the meaning of the word Vraja, one... devotee was explaining very beautifully. So, Vraja means to move. If you read the translation, just one second. Bhagavad Gita as it is, and if you go to chapter 18, and I think it is 70, in this confidential, the meaning of the word, because I'm speaking this to you. Ah, here, 1866, right? So
yes.
Here he says, the meaning of the word Vraja, go. So Vraja, go, surrender. So go where? So go where I say. Mm-hmm. So surrender means to completely align one's life according to Lord's desire. So for example, like Mrigari, he said he was killing these, Mrigari was killing these animals. And Narada Muni said that why you have to give this up if you want to surrender. So Narada Muni, so this devotee said, so Mrigari said, how will I make a living? He said, don't worry, we'll arrange. So then Mrigari became hermit, he became sadhu, and he got donations. So he completely surrendered. But we can also see that at the same time, I have seen devotees who have gas stations, who have petrol pumps, and you have to sell literally cigarettes, this and that. And they take initiation, and some promise to Guru, oh, we will quit this. No, but they find more happiness in that we will make money from this, we'll donate to temple, but that is not what Krishna wants. Surrender means I'm ready to give up all sinful activity and I'm ready to take up an occupation. You know, there was one lady who was running a subway, for example, and she was regularly coming, and one devotee was preaching to her, Shankaranand Prabhu was preaching to her, and he told her, if you want to really progress, Mataji, ye chhod do, you know, send up, start of something, you know. And then she actually sold it and she took up something simpler, lower income, but she said she's devotionally well situated. So Surrender means to give up things and situations that help us situate us in mode of goodness, in service of Guru. But that's why, but one should not be capricious. Prabhupada says one should not simply give family life because it is troublesome. No, one should understand that one has to do his duty, remain sinful. It's difficult, but at the same time one has to maintain his Krishna consciousness. So actually conscious means to become more aware and more, you know, one has to take up all those activities, all those difficulties, you know, in order to be, because a devotee has two roles. One is for himself, and at the same time he has to be an example, even for his children, even for his wife, even for others, so that others can respect him, everybody close to him. And, you know, so surrender means there, so Vraja, to go, to follow the acharyas, instructions, you know. So when you do that, only then the second part applies. When you did surrender, so only then the second part applies. So if we haven't done the first part properly, then to the degree you are surrendered, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. So Krishna applies the previous thing. This is the same thing Krishna is explaining, but in a more explicit way. First he says surrender, then I will protect. So that, what is that surrender? Of course, that is the whole Bhagavad Gita. And here, surrender basically is to follow the pure devotee. Of course, who can follow Krishna directly? It is only by following the pure devotee that one is able to follow Krishna.
Thank you very much, Pramiji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anyone else have any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, I know you already went over this very thoroughly, but I don't know, my attention was kind of here and there. I just want to make sure that I got your explanation, you know, like the conversation you were having with Preeti Vilasini Mataji, a little clear, you know. So what I understood was that, you know, there are sinful reactions, you know, for things we've done in the past that are coming in this life. And there are also propensities to commit sin again. So for the sinful reactions that are coming for past misdeeds, if we chant offenselessly, then those sinful reactions will go. And for the propensities to go, we need to systematically study things like Bhagavatam with rapt attention. So there's a distinction I feel like you made between how we take care of sinful reactions and how we take care of sinful propensities. For the reactions, there's the chanting, and of course, you know, when we get initiation, the spiritual master also takes care of that. But then for the propensity to sin again, we need the serious study of Bhagavatam. So is it correct, my understanding, or?
Yes, Mataji. See, the thing is, the only difference here, what I would like to add just a little bit, you are absolutely right, but the only thing I would like to add, see, basically what happens when we come to Krishna consciousness, we, among the devotees, being with the devotees, we learn a lot of nice things. We have to offer prasad, bhoga, we have to do this. So we are learning new habits. So that is like we are changing our personality, which is already going on.
But what is happening is that at the same time, for us to change from the root, if you see Bhagavatam, the only difference here is hearing, meditating, chanting about Bhagavatam, it forms the complete attitude. It uses the quality, the character, the personality by which then any service you perform, it is glorious. Any service you perform, it is done with the perfect attitude. You know? So that is why everything is in the mind. Prabhupada says the progress of a devotee depends on his attitude. So the sinful thoughts and the sinful tendencies are all in the mind. And the two powerful weapons that can transform this is the chanting of offenseless chanting and the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, what it does is, it is meant, it is said, Bhagavatam itself says that the three kleshas, that from the very root that removes the things, you know, the all the dirt from the mind, the Bhagavatam is the only one. Second, the way the subjects are designed is meant to take the mind from the material platform to the transcendental platform and purify the mind. So these form the basis, yet at the same time, the practical way of dealing when we are with the devotees, we learn, oh, we do this festival, we dress the deities, we do all these practical things, but at the same time, the formation of the mind, the right attitude, the right thought process, everything comes only by, we can do all the service, but it won't be effective as long as we offenselessly chant and we completely absorb the mind. The mind should become completely filled up with the juice and the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to end with this. I was telling one devotee, we were discussing that when somebody attacks you and provokes you, you know, generally what happens? So when Kali is in somebody's heart, he will provoke you. He will provoke you to attack him back. That's what he wants to from a devotee or a nice person. So they will try to attack, just like Buddha and Angulimala. So when your heart is full of juice, when your heart is full of nectar, so even when he presses your heart, only juice will come out, only compassion will come out. And that is unbelievable. But if your heart is empty, it will come out, it will only dryness will come out. So our action and reaction depends on how juicy our mind is, how filled up our mind is. And the two activities which perform 99% of our, which fill up and purify the heart and fill it up with juice. So one is like purifying the heart, making it ready, the funnel ready. And the Bhagavatam is filling it up with the Harikatha, with the juice. And then the heart is ready for the higher activity. And yes, with these two, combined with, yes, with all the devotees, you know, without all the devotees, there is no fun, so to speak. So all that should be there, but the critical and main activities are offenseless chanting and studying Bhagavatam.
And the studying of the Bhagavatam, you say, is because by studying the Bhagavatam, we're actually studying the attitudes of the pure devotees that are in the Bhagavatam, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And it is said that Bhagavatam is such that as you absorb in that, you gain those qualities.
Yeah.
By serving the Bhagavatam, you gain those qualities. That is the reason we absorb in the Bhagavatam. We don't say we read the Bhagavatam. Reading is different.
One day
I was speaking to him, I said, you know, one should study and systematically absorb in the Bhagavatam. He was like, I read all this, and it also talks about this affair and that affair. I said, that is external reading of Bhagavatam. Absorb means you understand. First you hear from a devotee, you get the, you know, the essence, you know, the rasa, because it is all about relationship, you know.
And yeah, the mood, you get the mood of the devotees.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one thing is that I'm a little bit surprised, or I think I need some clarification about the fact that, you know, we always hear that the holy name is everything. You know, is Krishna's name, is Leela's, is everything. You know, so one would think just by logical analysis that therefore, you know, holy name is all you need to do is chant that, you know, because the pastimes of the Bhagavatam are contained within the holy name. So by that logic, one could ask, you know, well then why read the Bhagavatam also if the Bhagavatam is already contained within the holy name?
We can see that if you see very clearly the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed his six Goswamis to go and compile literatures. And because he set up the process, we are Rupanugas. And in Nectar of Devotion, he explains all these. In Nectar of Devotion, he explains how the different activities of devotion are performed and all these things are explained there very clearly. Now, holy name, of course, we can see Haridas Thakur was absorbed, but that is one kind of example. But at the same time, if you see the activities of the Goswamis, why did they give us literatures? Because the thing is, when the, like the Ramayana or, you know, there is commentaries on different, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you see, Sanatana Goswami compiled the book called Brihad Bhagavata Amrita. Now, without Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, for example, although it is there, but to understand it, so this is a holy name only. One thing we have to understand, holy name, we should not think it is just the Hare Krishna mantra, which is, actually it is not a mantra, it is just the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. But it is formed into a mantra. You know, many devotees say, this is not like some mantra, but it is actually chanting of the holy names of the Lord, number one. Second is, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the literatures, the transcendental Vaishnava literatures, they are also non-different from the holy name.
Right.
So it is not that they are not holy name. The Srimad Bhagavatam, so they are equivalent if not higher. And if, for example, if we do not realize this Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, wherever I go, when I give class, that book makes it easier for devotees, even devotees, to understand the difference between why Krishna as Paramatma is not the same as Krishna in Goloka. Because when you explain how by chanting this Gopala mantra and this little boy, Gopal, he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. And when he goes to Goloka Vrindavan, he sees the Krishna with the cow. Although he sees Krishna in Vaikuntha, he sees Ram, he sees everybody, yet he is not attracted. Finally, he is only attracted to Krishna as Gopala. So that is his constitutional position. So that's when we realize the role of Paramatma within our heart. So the chanting of the holy name also involves the chanting of the pastimes of the Lord, because that is also non-different from the holy name. And all these verses that are there, they are also Krishna. Just like Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, there is no mention. Krishna doesn't even come into the picture until some time. So what is the benefit of chanting this? So because they are all connected to Krishna, because they are all spoken, they are all connected to Krishna, what is spoken by Krishna, they are also absolute. So on the spiritual platform, that is also the holy name. And because the process is laid out, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called it Amala Puran. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended reading Brahma Samhita. He found the Brahma Samhita and he said devotee should relish this. So there are two processes what we do. One, devotees read it to purify like us. And at the same time, liberated devotees, they read it. So if you listen to Radha Govind Maharaj lectures now he is not reading to understand it. If you see his lectures, he is crying when he speaks about Krishna with the gopis. If you have seen his recent lectures, he simply starts crying. It's not that he is trying to cry, but he is really in that mood. So devotees absorb themselves
in the various pastimes of the Lord, because after hearing the holy name, so the name reveals itself, Nama, Rupa, then the names reveal Krishna's form, Guna, then the names reveal Krishna's qualities, and the name reveals Krishna's pastimes. So the Bhagavatam is another form of the holy name, which is the holy name itself, where it is explaining the four levels, like Rupa Goswami says, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. So these are the expansions, you know. So as the holy name, as you realize, so this is where it is. So, and then, to the degree you realize Bhagavatam as real, as strong, and that which, and to the degree you absorb in the heart, so this is the process. This is actually the holy name. So that is why Srila Prabhupada instituted that after the chanting in the morning, we have darshan. And as soon as darshan, Guru Puja, and then Srimad Bhagavatam class. So why did Prabhupada institute? Because these are all necessary processes. So even Rupa Goswami says that there are 64 activities in devotional service, out of which 5 are the most potent. So chanting the holy name, everything is contained in the holy name, yet we see worshipping the pure devotee. So pure devotee is also absolute. Just like we see Vyasadeva, when he says Narada Muni, addressing his guru, Narada Muni, he says, you are the Paramatma in everybody's hearts. So even a pure devotee is as powerful as the Lord. So the holy name, yes, it contains, yet at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam also contains, because it contains the Lord, it contains everything. A pure devotee of the Lord, because he is completely, just like Vyasadeva's statement here, so Prabhupada explains in the purport, because Narada Muni is empowered by the Lord, he is a pure devotee, so he is as good as the Lord. So we can see Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but Krishna. Again, the lotus feet of Krishna, the crown of Krishna are the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. So it is non-different from the holy name. A pure devotee is even more glorious than the Lord. So we see that there is Pancha Tattva, you know, the Lord, the Lord's inner, the Vishnu expansion, his internal energy, his pure devotee. So these are all non-different. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the pure devotee, Tulsi, the holy name, these are also non-different, you know.
Yeah, every time you say it's non-different, that makes me wonder again, why both? Why not just the one, you know? Because they are non-different. Okay, that seems like a reason to do just the one.
Rupa Goswami recommends 5, but he says even if one does even any one of them, yet he achieves perfection. Just like it is said that Gorkeshwara Das Babaji Maharaj, he showed by his own example, although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to give, was very intent on making Brahmanas, but Gorkeshwara Das Babaji Maharaj is just chanting the holy name. So, just the process, you know, just chanting. And if you see, the devotees instituted 2 processes, chanting the holy name and singing kirtan. If you see, even if we skip Srimad Bhagavatam, but the essence of the Bhagavatam is found in Vaishnava kirtans, you know, kirtans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They wrote all these different kirtans. So, you are right in one sense that if one sticks to one process perfectly, then that is good enough. But as a devotee, there are different branches. And if you read Narada Bhakti Sutra, it says, some people say this is bhakti, some people say this is bhakti, but because the process of bhakti is absolute, any one activity, when done perfectly, even that takes you back to Godhead. So, you are right that is there, but at the same time, because we are Rupanugas, and Rupa Goswami has laid some guidelines, and Srila Prabhupada has given us some guidelines, because we are conditioned souls and we have conditioned tendencies, these rules are given so that if we can absorb in the holy name like Haridas Thakur, but Prabhupada says that is not, when one devotee once sat on a tree,
And he was practicing in Mayapur. He said, I will simply chant. Prabhupada said, after a few days, you will not be able to maintain this vrata. So mm-hmm. we can see that although we want to, but it's not possible for us to do everything. So that is why there are various activities given, so that mm-hmm. we can absorb in something, a little, but something we may be inclined to more, in that with which we can absorb more. But eventually, yes, if one can actually chant like that, when I remember as a new bhakta, we were hearing Haridas Thakur's glories and this and that, and I was a third year engineering student, and I told my Shiksha Guru, Prabhuji, as soon as my engineering is over, I am going to Vrindavan, and I am just, rest of my life, I will chant 22 hours holy name. He said, all the best, Prabhu. If you can do it, I will also join you. So, I was like that. And then I realized that, yes, we have prarabdha karma, we have tendency. Now I cannot do that. I have a wife, I have two kids, you know. So we have to, so although it is also possible, just like Mirabai, she was simply chanting and this and that, that is definitely there. But that's why my Guru Maharaj is focusing on Varanashram. He says, yes, one should live in the city only to preach, not to live. But yes, if one can simply absorb in the holy name. But he said, how many can simply absorb in the holy name? How many of us have such a sinful, tendency-free mind, he said. So that is why mm-hmm. one needs discipline, one needs various activities, because after some time the mind gets bored, you know. We are not
the
yeah. So here is a question of practicality, not philosophy.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you so much. That was wonderful. Hare Krishna.
If no one else has any questions or comments, we'll end the call. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Prabhu. And thanks for the beautiful discussion. Vancha kalpa taru vyaschit krupa sindhu vyaschit Tatitanam pavane piya vishnu vidhyo namo namaha Ananta koti vishnu vishnu ki jai Srila Prabhupad ki jai Shri Chaitanya Saritam Jata ki jai His Kutnatras Prabhu ki jai
Thank you Prabhuji, very wonderful. Hare Krishna.